Have you ever told someone, maybe it was your kids, you ever told your kids or you told somebody else, whatever you do, don't look over there? What'd the person do as soon as you said, don't look over there? They looked, right? I mean, what's the deal? I mean, you say, whatever you do, don't look. And they look over there. Have you ever said, look, listen to me, don't touch that? What ends up happening? I mean, why is it that when we say, don't do this, that there's just an automatic reflex that says, oh, okay, well, I'll go and do that. Have you ever told somebody, look, don't tell anybody this? You know what happens sometimes? Too often? Yeah, we tell them, don't tell anybody this, and yet what ends up happening? They end up telling people. And so to me, it's intriguing. It's interesting. It's something that maybe is a little bit confusing. That as you've been doing your reading, and have you noticed this during your reading in the last, just in the last week especially, have you noticed how often Jesus told people, don't tell anybody else about this? And then did you notice what they did? I mean, what's the deal with that? I mean, Jesus could not have been more clear in his instructions. Don't tell anybody about this. And yet you turn right around, and what were they doing? Going out and telling people what Jesus told them not to tell people. And yet, just the opposite seems to be true today. Jesus hasn't told us, don't tell people. What has Jesus told us? He's told us, go out and tell everybody. And yet, what seems to be our reaction? Just as he said, don't tell, and they told, how often today has he told us to tell, and we don't tell? You know what Shakespeare said, to be or not to be, that, he said, is the question. So to play off of that, to tell or not to tell, brethren, the reality is there is no question. What God has called us to do. And so what I want us to do this morning is the first part of this lesson is kind of on the informative side. We're going to go through the book of Mark, and I want you to get your Bibles out. Go to Mark chapter 1. And I just want us to step through some of these times where Jesus said those things to these people. And so the first part of this is kind of informational as we step through those occasions in the life of Jesus. But then the second part, I hope this morning, will not just be informational, but will be motivational for us as we think about our responsibility to go and to tell. But I want you to go with me to Mark chapter 1, and I want you to look at some of these occasions with me where Jesus told people, he gave instructions to people while he was on this earth, don't tell. And then you know what they did. Go to Mark chapter 1. You go to Mark chapter 1, you begin in verse 40. In the beginning of verse 40, you see Jesus' encounter with a leper. And a leper comes to him in verse 40 and he says, if you're willing, Jesus, you can make me clean. And so Jesus was moved with compassion. In verse 41, he said, I am willing. And so he said, be cleansed. Verse 42, as soon as he had spoken these things, immediately, not the next day, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Look at verse 43. And Jesus strictly warned the leper. Think about that. It's not just he said something. He strictly warned the leper and sent him away at once. What did he say to him? See that you say nothing to anyone. Is it okay for the leper to go tell some people about what Jesus had done for him? Don't say, now, there was a law that said you need for a leper to be pronounced cleansed, he needed to go to the priest who was the one who could pronounce him cleansed. So he says, you go to the priest, you show yourself the priest so you can follow the law of Moses. But I don't want you to tell anybody about this. What does verse 45 say? What's the first word you got? However. Verse 42, verse 43 and 44, he says, don't tell anybody. Strictly warned him. Verse 45, however. What does the word however mean? I'm not going to do what you told me to do. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the message. Exactly what Jesus told him not to do. Leper goes out and he does. Look over in chapter 3. Look in chapter 3, and this one's a little bit different. Get over to chapter 3, and there's a multitude that is following Jesus in verses 7 and 8. There's a great multitude that heard him, heard about him. And so in verse 9, after they heard how many things he was doing in verse 8, they start following him in verse 9. And so Jesus told his disciples in verse 9 to keep a small boat at the ready because the multitude was going to come and just press in against him so closely. So verse 10 says, he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. So get the scene. There's this multitude. There's this huge multitude crowding around Jesus. And the unclean spirits, whenever they saw him, fell down before him and cried out, saying, you are the Son of God. But he sternly warned them. So the question here is, who is he warning? Is he warning the people in verse 10 who he healed? Or is he warning the unclean spirits who he was casting out in verse 11? The reality is he's probably warning both of them. He sternly warned them that they should not make him known. Told a leper, don't tell anybody about me. Told those who were healed, and even these unclean spirits, don't tell anybody about me. Go to chapter 5. Look in chapter 5. You go to verse 21 of chapter 5 and verse 22. In verse 22, he meets a man who's a ruler of the synagogue. His name is Jairus. And so to Jairus, Jairus is the ruler of the synagogue, and he comes to Jesus in verse 23, and he says, my little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live. So Jesus went with him and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. Go towards the end of the chapter. You get down to verse 37, 38. He took Peter, in verse 37, he took Peter, James, and John into Jairus' house. He came into his home in verse 38, and there were people who were weeping and wailing loudly. Why? Because the child was now dead. But Jesus said in verse 39, the child is not dead, but she's asleep, and they ridiculed him. But when he had put them aside, verse 40 says, he put them all outside. He took mom and dad, and he took with him Peter, James, and John, and he entered where the child was lying, verse 41. He took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, and which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. But he commanded them strictly that no one should know it. Would that be hard? If Jesus had just raised your 12-year-old daughter from the dead, could you keep it to yourself? Jesus keeps telling people, don't tell anybody. Go over to chapter 7, passage that was read this morning. Chapter 7, Jesus encounters a man in verse 32 who is both deaf, could not hear, and mute. He could not speak. Jesus heals the man, and in verse 35, immediately his ears were opened and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. He could hear and he could speak. So verse 36 says, Jesus commanded, not just the man, he commanded everybody, that they should tell no one. But the more he commanded them, the more widely they proclaimed it. Does that just ring true for us today? The more you tell your kid, never mind, I won't go down that road. But does that ring true today? The more he commanded them not to say anything, the more they just couldn't keep it to themselves. And so they were astonished beyond measure at what had happened. Is it interesting to you, Jesus keeps telling people, don't tell. Don't. And what do they keep doing? They keep going out and telling. Go to chapter 8. Chapter 8, there's a blind man that Jesus encounters in verse 22. And the blind man begged Jesus to come over and to touch him. And the encounter goes that Jesus goes over to heal the man. Verse 25 says, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes again, made him look up. He was restored and saw everything clearly. Jesus sent him away to his house. But what did he say to him? Don't go into the town and don't tell anybody in town. Interesting. Jesus keeps telling people, don't tell. Why did Jesus tell these people not to tell? Now, go back to chapter 5. Because in chapter 5, there's an account that's a little bit different. I'm going to call it a slight variation. Did I not do chapter 8? Go to chapter 8. I thought I did chapter 8. Go and look at this. Well, that's where I just was. What did I forget to do? Did I just forget to click the button? I forgot to click the button. My bad. All right. Go to chapter 5. The remote up in Tennessee was different than this one, and I kept hitting the wrong button up there. I wish there was a universal remote that was in every church. All right, so chapter 5. Jesus encounters a man possessed by a demon. And I'm calling this one a slight variation because Jesus doesn't tell him, don't tell anybody. He casts the demon out of the man, and when the people come out in verse 15, they see the man clothed in his right man and then his right mind. The man is healed. He no longer has legion possessing him. And so when Jesus, verse 18, Jesus got into the boat, but the man who had been demons possessed begged him that he might go with him. Jesus, don't go away from me. I want to go with you. You just cast this demon, these demons out of me. I want to go with you. However, verse 19, Jesus did not permit him to go. But instead of saying, don't tell anybody, in verse 19, notice what Jesus says. Go home to your friends. If you look in Luke's account, Luke will tell us that Jesus told him, go to your own house. Okay? So go home, go to your house, and you can tell your friends what great things the Lord has done. Slight variation. Instead of saying, don't tell anybody, he says, you can go home, go to your house, and tell your friends. What does the man do in verse 20? He departed and began to proclaim in Decapolis. Decapolis means 10 cities. He goes home to the county of Decapolis, and he's telling everybody in every city where he can go. Does that sound like go to your home and tell your friends? So Jesus said, just tell these people, but he still can't keep it to himself. Is this interesting to you? That over and over and over, Jesus says, don't tell anybody, and yet what do? They tell everybody. Now, come to chapter 8 again, the end of chapter 8. As you come towards the end of chapter 8, we saw Jesus healing the blind man, verse 26, 25 and 26. Then you have in verse 27, this encounter, we know it better from Matthew chapter 16, where Jesus goes to Caesarea Philippi. He asked the disciples, who do men say that I am? And then he asked the disciples here, as we have it, who do you say that I am? In verse 29, and Peter makes the great confession in verse 29, you are the Christ. When you were reading this, did it intrigue you in verse 30 that Jesus told the apostles, he warned them that they should tell no one about him. So he heals. Don't tell. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah. Now don't tell anybody. Why not tell anybody? Go down to chapter 9. Might be on the same page, first part of chapter 9 in your Bible. You have the transfiguration of Jesus, where Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on a mount. Jesus is transfigured before him. His appearance changes. His face, his appearance is as bright as the light. The Lord speaks and says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. God the Father speaks, but then Elijah and Moses are there. They disappear. Look in verse 9. Verse 8, suddenly when the disciples looked around, they saw nobody anymore. Only Jesus is the one that they saw. Verse 9, now as they came down from the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Peter, James, and John, that they should tell no one the things that they had seen until he had been risen from the dead. So they kept the word to themselves. They didn't go out and tell, questioning what the rising of the dead meant. Interesting. That over and over and over, Jesus keeps telling people, the healed ones, don't tell people what I've done. And now he tells the disciples twice, chapter 8 and chapter 9, don't tell people who I am. Don't tell them I'm the Son of God, and don't tell them about the transfigure and what you've seen and what you've heard from heaven. Does that intrigue you? Intrigues me. Does it intrigue you that except for these last two, everybody else couldn't keep it to themselves? Apparently, the apostles kept it to themselves, but everybody else went out and did exactly what Jesus told them not to do. We don't have time to dive into this, but I want to talk about some possible reasons as to why why did Jesus keep doing this? Let me give you a few reasons as to why Jesus probably was continuing to tell these people, don't tell about me. Number one, he was doing it to protect the people. Remember what happened in John chapter 9 when Jesus healed the blind man? Remember how the Jewish leaders would not leave that blind man alone and how much they harassed him? And they eventually excommunicated him and kicked him out of the tent. You're not allowed to be here anymore because you're associated with Jesus. You think Jesus was trying to protect these people from being harassed? It happened in John 9. Perhaps he's looking out for them. Perhaps he's looking out for their families to protect them. Do you remember what happened to the blind man's parents in John chapter 9? The Jewish leader started harassing his parents. So when Jesus tells Jairus and his wife, don't tell anybody I've raised your daughter from the dead, Jesus isn't just trying to hide in the shadows per se. He's trying to protect them from isn't that what you would expect from Jesus? To look out from those so that they would not be intimidated, so they wouldn't have people coming after them? Surely these are some of the reasons. Remember what happened with Lazarus after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? What did the Jews try to do to Lazarus? They tried to kill Lazarus. So no doubt Jesus is trying to look out for some people as he's doing these things. Perhaps he's trying to do it to suppress the excitement of the crowds from getting to be too much. I stopped short in Mark chapter 1 and did not read the last part of Mark chapter 1 verse 45 when he healed the leper and the leper went out and told everybody. You know what happened after the leper went out and told everybody? Mark chapter 1 verse 45 says, Jesus could no longer openly enter into the city. He had to stay out in the deserted places and teach. He couldn't go into that city anymore because of the multitudes that were just too excessive. Now, you would think, that's great. He wants big crowds, but not unruly crowds. He couldn't even go places in order to preach. So perhaps he's trying to just, the excitement is going to naturally come out, but perhaps he's trying to keep it from becoming too big, too soon. Perhaps he's telling these things to these people in order to prevent them from coming and trying to force him to be king. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, first 14 verses, he feeds 5,000 men plus women and children with 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know what happens in verse 15? They look to take him by force and make him king. Jesus wasn't looking to be an earthly king. Perhaps he's trying to prevent these people from coming and trying to force him to be some kind of earthly king, which if you force him to be an earthly king, that would stir up the Roman authorities against him. And now all of a sudden he'd be getting negative Roman authority, negative Roman attention because, oh, he's trying to be king. Perhaps that's a reason that he's telling these people, don't tell about me. Perhaps he's doing it because he is trying to keep things under control as long as he can, to keep the Jewish authorities at bay as long as he can. In Luke chapter 4, he's in Nazareth. He's in the synagogue in Nazareth. He reads from Isaiah 61. He tells the people in the synagogue that today this is fulfilled in your presence. He teaches them that he is the Son of God. He's at home in Nazareth. Shouldn't they want him at home? Shouldn't they be nice to him at home? You know what they do in Luke chapter 4, verse 28 through 30? They get him out of the synagogue, push him outside the city, and get him out to the edge of the city, to the cliff, and they're ready to push him off the cliff. I wonder why Jesus keeps telling people, don't tell people I've done this. Perhaps to prevent them from killing him too soon. There was a plan that God had in mind from all of eternity, and perhaps Jesus is trying to get that plan to its fulfillment without them trying to kill him too soon. Why does Jesus keep telling these people, don't tell, don't tell, don't tell? Perhaps it's to keep them focused on his message instead of being thought of as the wonder worker, the miracle worker. If all of the attention was on his miracles, is that why Jesus came to do miracles? No. Jesus came to teach and to preach the truth. In John chapter 10 and verse 38, he says, I want you to believe my works. But the reason I want you to believe my works is so that you will believe my words. He wants them to stay focused on his message. But why did he tell the apostles, don't tell anybody I'm the Son of God? Perhaps he told them that because they were not ready to tell others. Perhaps they did they fully understand what it meant that he was the Son of God? Did they fully understand what it meant that he was going to die and be buried and raised again? Would it be a good idea to send people out who don't know what they're saying to say it, who can't defend it to try to go out and defend it? There were certain things that Jesus wanted out and taught in certain ways at certain times. And he wanted these men to be ready to teach and to preach and to defend it when the time was ready. And that's why he said, Mark chapter 9, wait until after the resurrection of the dead. And they didn't even know what that meant. So I find these as possible reasons. You may come up with some other possible reasons. But what's the point of this part of the lesson? It's informational. Informational about what? Jesus kept telling people, don't tell. And what did they do? They went out and told. What does Jesus tell us to do? Jesus tells us to tell. He's not holding back now. He's not saying, oh, no, that's okay. Yeah, I'd rather you know. He's telling us to tell. Now, who's he talking to? And we're not going to take time to develop all of these, but the eight things I'm about ready to put here correspond with the eight groups of people that he told not to tell. Who has he told to tell? He's told us. He's told people who have been cleansed from the leprosy of sin. Have we? You read Isaiah chapter 1, verse 6, describes figuratively what sin and evil is like, and it talks about it as being putrid sores. Yeah, that's yucky. Yeah, that's what sin is. And Jesus says, you've been cleansed from those putrefying sores. We've been cleansed from sin. Our souls have been purified by obeying the truth, 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. And those who have been purified from the leprosy of sin, he says, you go out and tell. Those of us who have been healed, 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, Peter says, by his stripes you have been healed, forgiven of your sins. Those of us who have been healed and forgiven of our sins by the blood of Jesus, he tells us, go out and tell. Those of us who have been raised with Christ, those of us who have been raised out of the watery grave of baptism, raised to walk a new life, ready for eternal life after the resurrection of the dead, he tells us, you go out and tell. Those of us, like that individual in Mark chapter 7 who was deaf and mute, those of us who can now hear the truth and know the truth and are able to speak the truth, he tells us, go out and teach it. The blind man that was healed in Mark chapter 8, our spiritual eyes have been opened. Now we see the truth. Now we can see what God wants us to know. Paul was told in Acts chapter 26 that he would be able to open the eyes of the blind, not physically, but he would open their eyes to spiritual truths. We can see it. He tells us, go out and tell what you can now see. Those of us who were once controlled by evil, controlled by the devil, we were in bondage to the devil all of our lives before we became a Christian. Now we've been freed from the bondage of the devil. And what does he tell us? He doesn't say, oh, keep it to yourself. Only tell the people in your house. That's all. That's what he told the demon-possessed. No. He tells us, go out and tell everybody. Those of us who now have the fullness of the revelation of God, those of us who now believe that Jesus is the Son of God, those of us who have made the same confession that Peter made, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, before we were baptized. We know who Jesus is. We know He's the Son of God. What does He tell us? Go out and tell. Those of us, we weren't there to see the transfiguration, but we read about it. And we've read about God saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. We now know the fullness of the plan of God. The apostles didn't even know it. You know more than the apostles knew at the transfiguration. We now know it. We now see it. We now have it. And what does He tell us to do? Don't keep it to yourself. He kept telling people, don't tell, don't tell, don't tell, don't tell, don't tell. What does He tell us to do? Look at Mark chapter 16. This week, we'll be reading Mark chapter 16 in our New Testament readings. You know what happens in Mark chapter 16. Jesus is raised from the dead very early in the morning. They come to the tomb in verse 2. They find out that Jesus is no longer there. They see the place where His body was laid, but His body is no longer there. The tomb is empty. And so look in verse 7 of Mark chapter 16. Go tell His disciples. If you just found out the tomb was empty, could you keep it to yourself? You know the tomb was empty. You know Jesus, the Son of God. Same thing these ladies were told is what we're told to do. Go and tell it. Look down in verse 9. He arose early in the first day of the week. He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went out in verse 10 and did what? Told those who had been with him. She sees Jesus raised from the dead. And what does she do? Oh, I'm not going to tell anybody. She can't keep it to herself. She goes out and tells them. Jesus appears to two individuals in verse 12 on the road to Emmaus. In verse 13, what did they do after Jesus appeared to him? They went and told it to the... They saw Jesus. They couldn't keep it to themselves. What does Jesus tell us to do? Verse 15. Jesus tells us to go and tell. He doesn't say keep it to yourself. He doesn't say, well, I'm trying to protect you. It's not I'm trying to protect you, protect your family. I'm trying to suppress excitement. No. None of those possible reasons exist. He wants us to go to everybody and to teach everybody. We offered some possible reasons. We don't know exactly, and so that's why we use the word possible. We offered some possible reasons why Jesus told those individuals not to tell. I don't want to give you possible reasons. I want to give you obvious reasons why Jesus tells us to go. And they're right here, Mark 16. You got your Bible open, right? Stay right. You know these verses in Mark 16. Stay there. Here are five obvious reasons that Jesus tells us, not keep it to yourself, go and tell. Reason number one. Reason number one, when you think about what are reasons that Jesus tells us to go and tell everybody, reason number one is time. Time. There is, when you look in Mark chapter 16, in the very first word that Jesus used, there is an urgent command to go. Jesus didn't say, tarry for a little while. He said that on other occasions. He doesn't say it here. Jesus, in an urgent command, says, you cannot wait anymore. I told you at one time, don't tell anybody who I am. Mark chapter 8, Mark chapter 9. But now there is an urgency. Time is of the essence. People are not going to live forever. They need to know this information now. Friends, there is an urgent command that He gives to us. It's the same command, go. What's so urgent about this command? There's an urgency because there is a condition. There is a condition that is universal that everybody has, and it's called sin. And so that's why Jesus says, go into all the world. He's not saying like He did to the demon-possessed man, just go and tell your friends. Not just go and tell your friends. This is a universal problem. What is it? Sin. Every accountable person on earth is infected with this leprous disease of sin, and it will send them to hell if we don't do something about it. And so there's an urgent command, go. There is this problem that's universal that everybody's got, and so He says, you need to go and tell everybody. Do we realize that? Unless every one of your friends and every one of your family members is a New Testament Christian, then you have friends and family members who are lost in sin. Jesus says, go tell them. Go tell them. What's an obvious reason that He tells us? The time. It's limited. What's an obvious reason? The sin. But here's a good reason. There's hope. What is this message? What is this ultimate message that we get to go and share with them? The ultimate message that we get to go and share with them, it's not that a miracle has been done. That would have been cool, right? Hey, go, come and see Jesus. He just healed this blind man. That would be a great message to share. Our message is not, hey, come and see Jesus. He's great. He just helped this leper to now be cleansed and he doesn't have leprosy anymore. That would have been an awesome message to share. But our message is a million times better than anything like that. Go and preach the gospel. We get to tell people the good news about Jesus Christ. Not just that He healed people of their physical diseases. He can heal people of their spiritual condition, their separation from God because of their sins. That is the ultimate message that we get to share. There's no reason for us to keep that to ourselves. Every person we meet needs that news, the good news. Does our world need hope? The people you know, do they need some element of hope? We look around, everything seems hopeless today, doesn't it? Does our world need hope? We've got it in the message of Jesus. An obvious reason He tells us to go and tell. Obvious reason number four is down in verse 16. The obvious reason is that it's not just that they have a hope that cannot be realized, but that they can be saved from their sins. He who believes the good news that Jesus died and was buried and was raised again, the person who believes that and is baptized will, not might, will be saved from their sins. We've got an opportunity to help individuals to understand that there is a blessing, there is a gift that is completely undeserved, but it's theirs. They can have it. We get to let them know about it. Do you like giving gifts? Do you like giving gifts and seeing people open the gift and their face just light up as they see something that you've now given them? Have you given somebody the gift of salvation? Have you seen their face light up? We have the greatest gift available. None of us deserve it, and yet it's extended to every one of us. Obvious reason number five, that Jesus tells us, don't keep it to yourself, go and tell everybody else. It's because there's a place called hell. There is an undeniable condemnation and punishment. Because he who does not believe that Jesus is the Son of God and does not obey Him by being baptized, he who does not believe will be condemned to hell. The people that we know, the people that we love, who are lost in sin, who desperately need the message, the ultimate message that we have to give them so they can be saved from their sins. If we choose not to share it with them, we are condemning them to hell. Jesus doesn't say, don't tell anybody. Jesus says, you've got the greatest thing in the world. Go and tell everybody. What is there holding us back? You tell somebody, don't look over there, and what do they do? Tell somebody, don't touch that, what do they do? Tell somebody, don't tell anybody this, and what do they do? Jesus told all of those people in the book of Mark, except for the apostles, you get over to them, but everybody up to that, don't tell, don't tell, don't tell. What did they do? They went and told. And then He tells us, go and tell. And what do we often do? We don't do what we need to do. One of the easiest things that we can possibly do is to invite somebody to church. It is one of the easiest things that we can do. To take a card, to take an email, to take a text message, to take a link to the website or whatever, and to send it and say, hey, you know what? We've got this thing coming up at church. We'd love to have you. That easy. That's it. You don't have to write an essay. You don't have to have five sources that you have to cite in your essay. It's that easy. I'd just like you to come with me. And after that, it's on them. It's up to them. You've done your job. You get an A+. Because you've invited them. We've got the greatest thing in the world to offer to people. What's holding us back from inviting them to worship, to giving them a track that we keep out in our track rack, to inviting them to sit down and study the Bible with us, to sharing a link to some Bible class or sermon or something that we thought was helpful and could help them? all sorts of opportunities available to us. What's holding us back? May God help us to use our gospel meeting. If for nothing else, may God help us to use our gospel meeting as an excuse to talk to somebody. May God help us to use these little cards as an excuse. If nothing else, if that's the reason we got to look at it, as an excuse to say, hey, we got something going on. Just wanted to give you one of these. Hope you can make it. May God help us to have boldness to step out, to let people know what we know, what we've seen, and what we've heard. We've talked about salvation. Mark chapter 16 tells us how we're saved. And that message hasn't changed. When Jesus told the apostles in Mark 16, here's how people are going to be saved 2,000 years ago. Guess what? They're still saved the same way today. There's no difference. God's plan has not changed for man to be saved. It starts by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. That faith leads one to say, I believe He died for me. Why would I want to continue to live in those sins? I'm going to turn from wrong and I want to start doing what's right. If you're ready to make that decision, the Bible calls repentance today. You can do what Peter did. And you can confess, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And you can do what every person in the New Testament did to become a Christian. You can do what every person in the New Testament did in order to be saved. And that is to be baptized into Christ. Those people were not saved before, and then they, a few days or a few weeks later, they got baptized. They were baptized. Jesus says, he who believes and is baptized, that person will be saved. Not before, but right then. Have you ever been baptized that way? Jesus' way? So you could be saved right then? There's water here today. There's garments. There's towels. Everything is ready back here. If you want to be baptized this day, you can do it. And then be raised to walk with Jesus. Going around and telling people what you now see and hear because your eyes have been opened, your ears have been opened, you've been healed. May God help us. May God help us to live our lives in such a way that we do hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you need to get your life right with the Lord this morning, it's only a step. You take a step outside that aisle today. Come down and get your life right with the Lord. Only one step will take you there. And the Lord will walk with you every one of those steps. Get your life right now. As together we stand and sing.